The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So as you listen to the Gospel reading this morning, where did you fit in? Where did you see yourself in the story? Anytime I think that we hear a story, you get the visual in your head. And it's always curious to me where we put ourselves when we hear stories from Scripture. Now, you might find yourself identifying in some of the stories with any number of random characters. You might be a woman looking for a lost coin. You might be a rich man being told, "Go sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and then you will have life eternal," despite the fact that you have been keeping the law and been an upright person all your life. You might be a poor woman who puts 2 small copper coins in the treasury, or you might be the wealthy people watching and being scolded. You never know where you're going to fit in, and Jesus has all these great stories. But then there are the stories told about Jesus, such as this morning's story with the feeding of the 5,000. And there are fewer places, I think, where you can fall into this. You could see yourself as Jesus. I suspect most of us don't do that, but I suppose that's one perspective you could take. You could see yourselves as one of the inner sanctum, one of the 12, those who are close by, generally the ones being taught. You could see yourself as some of the bad guys, the Sadducees and Pharisees and whoever. You might see yourself as completely detached, as though you're watching a documentary. These are all options. You might also see yourself as a member of the crowd. And normally when I hear the feeding of the 5,000, I find, seems to me throughout my life, that I have pictured myself as one of those 12. One of those gathered around Jesus having this conversation about what to do because everyone's hungry and we don't have any food. I don't think that's because I think of myself as part of Jesus' gold club. It just seems to be the way that it comes. We're right there with Jesus being talked to. And frankly, in this story, being scolded a little bit. But this week, as I got reflecting on this passage, I started wondering what it would look like if I were a member of the crowd. And would that change how I see the story? Now, crowd or crowds is a rather important word in the Gospels. It's not one we talk about or think about a lot, but that word appears 144 times in the Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel alone that we just heard from, 48 times the word crowd or crowds appears. These are very important entities. It is the case that occasionally the crowds are less than desirable, as such as when they are talking about whether or not to put Jesus to death. But in general, the crowds are well spoken of. They are people following Jesus. Jesus is healing among the crowds. But we don't know a lot about them. The Gospels don't talk about the nature of the crowd or the individuals in it. What are they following for? What are the people following for? Well, I'm sure some were gathered out of pure curiosity. They heard about this this crazy guy walking around preaching and healing, just going to go take a look, maybe gawking even. I think some go who, I don't know, the day off from work and they heard that Jesus was nearby and want to go listen to what he had to say. Some, though, I think, I have to believe that there were some individuals who were in each of these crowds. A single person, perhaps, who went to each crowd. Who was dedicated to learning from Jesus, to hearing what he had to say, to witnessing the healings, to asking the question, is this in fact the one whom Isaiah prophesied about? Is this in fact the Messiah, the Son of the living God? The question might come from the crowd. Now, who would they learn from? If you're in the crowd, who would you learn from? Well, certainly you could learn from Jesus. You have to be able to hear him. There were no microphones. So you had to be close enough to see and hear Jesus. Maybe you weren't able to get that close. 5,000 people? That's a lot of people to be close enough to hear the speaker. Now, certainly you could learn from the disciples, that inner group. Jesus sent them off on occasion to go and teach and heal, and gave them the authority to do that. Perhaps if you're gathered in the crowd, you might be able to see what's going on with them. And you might learn that way. It's also possible if you're in the crowd and you can't see or hear, you're learning from each other. And you're spreading faith among each other. Now, the crowd at the feeding of the 5,000. What we can say about that today, from this perspective, is, well, there's several things we can say. This is one of the very few stories that appears in each of the four Gospels, which speaks, I believe, to the importance that the Gospel writers felt about this story. And in fact, among the four Gospels, it appears more than four times. Some think that it is an anticipatory story, anticipating the institution of the Eucharist, because the language that Matthew uses here, the verbs are the exact same ones he uses later, talking about Jesus at the Last Supper. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. These happen in this story, and they happen at the Last Supper. So perhaps this is a precursor. Question was asked in one commentary that I read about this 5,000 plus women and children. Now, I think most of us understand that in that day that would have been a reasonable and expected way to describe it. However, if Matthew meant by the words plus women and children that the married men brought their families, then this commentator speculated this should be called the feeding of the 20,000 because there would have been a lot of people there. What about those 12 baskets left over? Those 12 baskets we think of as signs of God's gracious generosity and abundance. But another commentator suggests that perhaps not. Perhaps this is an illustration of God using resources wisely. If, after all, there were 5,000 or 20,000 and you only have 12 baskets left over, that's actually pretty good planning, isn't it? In fact, that would be like having the parish picnic so well planned that at the end, all the food was gone except maybe a potato chip. I mean, that's really good planning. That's conserving resources, not being wasteful. And that God's abundance, therefore, is shown in the feeding itself. Well, if you're in the crowd, what are you getting out of this? Well, you can learn a few things from watching Jesus, certainly. You learn that he likes to go and be alone from time to time because that's where he is when we, as the crowd, chase him down and interrupt him. You learn that Jesus is a compassionate man. Matthew says he saw the crowd and had compassion on them. You know that he's a healer because Matthew continues, and he healed their sick. Perhaps you'd see that he is the Son of God as you witness the miracle. You could learn some things from the acts and the words of the 12. First of all, you might learn they're rather skeptical. After all they had seen, they still don't believe. They still don't believe that Jesus can do this. And they say to Jesus, send the crowds away. This is evangelism at its finest, isn't it? Send the crowds away. They didn't seem to understand what could be done with what they had. In fact, they said, very interesting thing, they said, we have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, that's not nothing, is it? They started by saying, we have nothing. Then there's that word, but. It's an important word. We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. We learned that Jesus needed people to do the heavy lifting. Jesus blessed the food. He gave it to His disciples, and they gave it to the crowd. They gave it to the crowd. Jesus told them, you give them something to eat. They really got a scolding, didn't they? When they said, send the crowds away. In the end, however, if we are truly members of the crowd watching this, I think the biggest lesson for us is that God in Christ has compassion on us. In fact, the biggest difference between the disciples with whom I usually tend to identify and the crowd where I'm sitting at the moment is that the disciples, in their skepticism and lack of faith, got a teaching. A rather harsh one, I should think. But we, in our hunger, received the mercy of God in bread and fish and grace. Amen.